daf is Baba Kama, daf Pei Hey. We left off in daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. We're at the two dots in Pei Dalet Amud Beis. About 10 lines before the end of the page. First word on the line is Mitchi Lasan. We're at the third word on the line. Says the Gemara. Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. Tsar Kava'u Bishvudo B'Mismar. That if a person burns somebody else by using some type of spit or a nail, and he burns him, and it obviously causes a great deal of pain, so he has to pay for the tsar. Says the Gemara. Tsar Shalob B'Makom Nezek Mishtale Mantana. Who's the one that, which is the Shita in Tanayin that holds that you would pay for tsar even when there's no nezek done? Meaning, assuming if you burn him on his fingernail, so you assume his value on the slave market will be exactly the same as it was before you burnt him, but you caused him a great deal of pain. And our Mishnah apparently assumes you're going to pay for that tsar even though there's no actual nezek payment. So who's the Tana that holds that tsar, even absent a nezek payment, is still something that you'd be chayiv to pay? So Amarava ben Azai, he must be the Shita of Ben Azai, Ditanya, Rebbe Omer Kviya Nemra Tchila, Ben Azai Omer Chabura Nemra Tchila, because we know we have a general machlokas in the Tanaim about whether Kviya was said first or Chabura was said first. Now, if you look in the Pasuk clearly says Kviya before Chabura. So what are they talking about, whether Kviya was said first or Chabura was said first? So the Gemara is going to explain exactly what they were talking about. So says the Gemara, what are they arguing about? Rebbe Savar Kaviya the Lespa Chabura Mashma, Kasav Rachmana Chabura, the Kluye Allah, the Kaviya the Isma Chabura in Ilalo. Had it just said Kaviya Tachas Kaviya, I would say that would imply only when there was no actual wound. That's what Kaviya means. That's when there's no actual wound, when you burn someone without actually making any sort of wound. And that's why the Torah then says Chabura, to show me that the word kviya only applies if there's also a chabura, meaning it's being megale on what the word kviya means. The default position is kviya always means when there's no wound. Chabura is megale, that over here kviya means that there is a wound. Ubenazai Savar, and Benazai says, no, kviya deispa chabura mashma. Had I just seen the word kviya, I would say that means that there's a burn where there's a wound, where it wasn't just pain, but the person was wounded. And that's why the Torah says chabura, to say no, that kviya means when there's no chabura. That's why separately we mention chabura. Chabura is a separate instance where you could where you cause the guy a wound. But Ben Azai clearly holds that when the Torah says kviya in the maskana, when the Torah says kviya, even though I would have thought, had it only said kviya, not chabura, I would have thought it meant that there's a kviya with a wound. But when the Torah in the maskana at the end of the day, the Torah does say chabura, it's megala to me that when it said kviya, it meant when there's no chabura. So we see that you're going to be chayiv for burning somebody, even if you didn't leave a wound, even if you didn't cause any sort of nezek, all you did was cause him pain. So that's the Shita of Ben Azai, right? When we wanted to know who's the Tana of our Mishnah that holds that you pay for pain, even absent any nezek, it's the Shita of Ben Azai. So Maskel for Rav Papa says, you know what? I would prefer to say that the sheet of our Mishnah is Rebbe, and you could switch around what Ben Azai and Rebbe meant when Rebbe said that Kviya Nemer Tchila, Ben Azai said Chabur Nemer Tchila. Simply as follows. Masvav Papa Adrava, Ipcha Mistavra. The opposite is Mistavra, to interpret them in the exact opposite way. That Rebbe Omer Kviya Nemer Tchila. That's all he said, the words Kviya Nemer Tchila. Just interpret it like this. Savar Kviya De Ispa Chabur Mashma. That he holds Kviya means something that has a chabura when there is a wound. Kas Rachman a chabura, the gluya la de kviya, the lespa chabura. And Rebbe's the one that says that the word chabura in the pasuk is telling me that the word kviya over here in this context must mean a kviya where there is no wound. So switch around the sheet, that will be how Rebbe understands it. So when Rebbe says kviya nemra tchila, he means that once we have chabura, we see that the kviya means dafka kviya, only when there's a burn without a wound. Ben Azai Omer Chabura Nemra Tchila, when Ben Azai says Chabura Nemra Tchila, he means Savar Kviya Delasba Chabura Mashma. Had we only had the word Kviya, it would imply that there's no Chabura, This and the word chabura shows me that kviya means that there has to also be a chabura. So when they say this one is a tchila, that one is a tchila, they mean at the end of the day, after you already have the word chabura to be megala, what you really hold about the word kviya. So Rabbi says kviya nemer tchila means once I have the word chabura to tell me that kviya means only kviya, so kviya nemer tchila. And when Benazir says chabura nemer tchila, it means once I have chabura to tell me that kviya means that there is a chabura, so that's a chabura nemer tchila. That's all. That's how you can interpret it, and therefore you won't have to say that our Mishnah is going like Benazai against Rebbe. We'd prefer to say the Mishnah would be going like Rebbe. Inami, another possible way to understand it, is the Kuli Alma, Kviya Bein Dispa Chabur Bein Deles Pa Chabur Mashva. Everyone would agree that a burn, the way the Pasuk says it, would imply whether there is a Chabur or not a Chabur, it doesn't make a difference. Vahacha Bechlalu Pratam Urchakim Zemi Zekamifadim. But over here, they're arguing about whether we darshanu Klalu Prat that are Maruchak Zemi Zed, that are distant from each other. Normally, Klalu Prat, there are no extra words in between the Klal and Prat. Over here, there's extra words that could have been included in the drasha, that would seem to have been implied to be included in the drasha, that interrupt in middle of the klalu prat. Rabbi Savar ain dan noso b'chalu prat, Ben Azi Savar dan noso b'chalu prat. And it's a question whether we should darshan it as a klalu prat. What are we talking about? So we look at Rashi. Rabbi Savar ain dan in hachanami kviya nemer tchila klal, the kviya mashma ben sheishim achabura ben sheini machabura. The word burn implies any kind of burn, whether it be a burn that has a chabura, doesn't have a chabura. So that's a klal, it's a more general term. The havi chabura samichlei, havi darshi chabura prat. Now, had the word chabura appeared right after the word kviya, it's a very simple drasha. You have a klal uprat. Kviya is a klal, chabura is a prat, so it would be very simple to darshan as a klal uprat, and therefore vein b'chal al mashab prat. Yeshima chabura in, edima chabura lo. And when you have a klal uprat, you darshan that in b'chal al mashab prat, that the klal is limited to what the prat is, and therefore the only type of bird you would be chaya for is the kind of bird that has a chabura. That would be so straightforward, it would be simple. But but now you have another word thrown in between the word kviya and the word chabura, is the word petza. Does that destroy the whole klal uprat, or do we say we can still darshan the klal uprat? That's the machlokas. So that's what it says, kviya nemer tchila, meaning from the beginning of the pasuk we learn that you chayiv on a kviya alone, and we don't say sofa mochiach. We don't say, oh, look at the end of the pasuk that you see you're only chayiv with chabura. So that's what he meant when he said kviya nemer tchila, and therefore the Mishnah would be going very much like Rabbi, that you're going to be chayiv on a kviya alone, on a burn alone, and we don't say, oh, look at the end of the pasuk, and therefore let's darshan uklal uprat over here and say that you're only going to be chayiv on the kind of burn that leaves a wound. So that's the issue. Now Tosos and Top Tosos says the issue about klal uprat murchak and zamizah near lerida b'klal uprat murchak and zamizah depligi tanai dahacha v'hu depligi nami abay v'rav b'reish pnos kutim haynu dafka b'chad in yana avol betray in yani l'kulei alma in danin. That's only when it's in one inyan that it's still talking about the same topic. That's when there's room to say that you could darshan the klal uprat murchak and zamizah. But once you're going from one inyan to the next, it's already too far apart for anybody to hold that you would darshan a klal uprat murchakin. Now the issue at hand, he references Parakam of the Pesachim, Davav, the issue at hand over here is whether, the reason why you would not darshan klal uprat hamruchak and zemizeh is because vein muktam mucha b'torah, that it only makes sense to darshan klal uprat if you can be confident that it's not a prat uklal, meaning that order, the seder that the Torah has it in, is intentional, it was meant to be dafka in that seder. And the truth is, that's how a lot of the Achronim explain it, but if you think about what the concept of Ein Muktam Mucha B'Torah means, it doesn't really mean that it's in random order, and therefore a Klal Prat might really be a Prat Uklal. Ein Muktam Mucha B'Torah, the Torah is definitely not in a random order. The Torah is just, Ein Muktam Mucha B'Torah just means the Torah is not chronologically written. but it's certainly written in some sort of Seder. There's certainly some sort of order in the Torah. It's just that Klal Uprat is a methodology of learning the Torah that apparently only makes sense when you're within a very narrow area. Not because of Ein Mukdam Mukhbar Torah, but Pashtus because it's just the Torah is so vast that if you're going to apply it on larger areas, then there's the Ein L'davar Sof to where you're going to apply a Klal Uprat, meaning you can always jump back and forth from one place to the next place with a Klal Uprat. It would just be a ridiculous way of learning. It's a methodology that would be inherently flawed because there would be no limit to how it can be applied. So Pashas doesn't really relate so much to Ein Mukta Mumu Uchar. What?
Here we're talking about one
pasuk. Right, so that's the issue. Where do you draw the line? Right, you can't. Well, right. Certainly, you can't say a pasuk is just a bunch of random words. It's right, made up as a sentence. But now that's how some of the Achronim Sfeim were told us, saying that when you go to two inyanim, now because within that's what the Gemara says that within a single inyan there is muktam mukhar. Ein muktam mukhar is from one inyan to the next. That's the whole application of Ein muktam mukhar. So that's what they relate to Tosus over here. That when it's two inyanim, that that you're not going to say Klal Uprat because of Ein Muktam Mu'uchar. That's a questionable application of Ein Muktam Mu'uchar. In general, how frequently we apply Ein Muktam Mu'uchar is somewhat questionable also. There's the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim tells us, how do I know Ein Muktam Mu'uchar b'Torah? The Gemara says it's Beferish in the Torah like that. If you look in Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, and Bamidbar, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, The it's very clear the psukim give dates, so it's very clear that Bamidbar Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph happens before Bamidbar Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. So you can't, it's irrefutable. The Torah says second year first month, second year second month, and it gives dates, and it's obvious that Bamidbar Perek Aleph came later than Bamidbar Perek Tes. So it's irrefutable that there is a concept of Ein Muktam Mu'uchar b'Torah, but again, in relation to chronology, not in relation to Stam just being out of order. Now there's Machlokas Rishonim in terms of how frequently we should apply when studying Chumash, how frequently we should apply Ein Muktam Mu'uchar b'Torah. Now Chazal apply it in certain instances, very in limited instances. It's Machlokas Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, whether we should apply it indiscriminately. Chazal were just giving us their lead, but really you can apply it all over the place. Or no, maybe you should apply it almost never, even when Chazal do it, you should try to avoid it at all costs, or you should apply it Dafko and Chazal apply it, and not in other places. That we should take our cues from Chazal and only apply it where they apply it. Okay, but anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, V'chitema Chabura L'Rebbe Lameli. Once Rebbe is telling me that you're chayef for Kaviyah, even if there's no Chabura, so then why does the Pasuk have to say Chabura according to Rebbe? L'damim Yaseirim. For the extra money. What extra money? Says Rashi, had it only said kviyat achas kviya, I would say that whether you made a wound or not, or you only caused pain, you would only pay for the pain, either way. I would think you wouldn't pay for the wound as well. That's why I need the word chabura to tell me that you pay for both. That's Rashi's pshat. Says Tosfos, ve'in nir lari. We have a different rashi to tell me that you pay for tsar even when there is already a payment for nezek, that you're going to pay for both. Why would I think that tsar should exempt you from other payments, should exempt you from nezek and ripoy? What's the hava mina that should be the case? So Tulsa says that Rashi's pshat is incorrect. That's not what dami miseira means. What does dami miseira mean? That when you cause tsar and it leaves a mark, so you would pay more for that than when you cause tsar and it doesn't leave a mark. Even though the pain of the two is equal, still he's disgusted by looking at the roshem all the time, so that itself also counts as pain. Meaning, I would have thought pain is purely the physical sensation that he feels, and therefore it shouldn't make a difference whether it leaves a mark or doesn't leave a mark. That will be covered with the nezek payments or whatever, but the physical sensation that he feels is how we measure the pain. No, says Tosfos, Chabura tells me that when it's a tsar that left a roshim, you're going to pay more for the tsar than if it were a tsar that doesn't leave a roshim. But we're all within tsar payment over here. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amdin kam adam kiyotzi b'zorot zelital. How do we determine nezek? We try to figure out how much would a person want for I'm sorry, how do we figure out tsar? We figure out how much would a person want to go through this pain. How much would he take to go through this pain? Like we said, if someone would tell you, can I take a needle and stick it in your finger, you would say no. But if they would say, if I give you $100, can I take a needle and stick it in your finger, you'd probably say yes. What's the big deal? Just take a needle, it's worth it for $100, you'll get a band-aid afterwards. You can buy many band-aids for the $100. So that's how we evaluate the tsar. So says the Gemara, tsar b'makom nezek kechi sheminan. How do we evaluate tsar when there was also nezek, meaning when it caused real damage to the person? So the Gemara is going to have four possibilities. Possibility number one, Amar Avod Shmuel, Omdin Kama Adam Rotzalita Likto Lo Yado. We try to figure out how much a person would want to take, how much money a person would take to cut off his hand. Meaning, if let's say you cut off somebody's hand, so how much do you pay him in tsar? Well, you try to figure out how much money a person would take if to cut their hand off. So, effectively, Mar Likto Lo Yado, Lo Tsar Lichudehu, Hakul Chamisha Dvarmika. When the person makes the cheshbon of how much money he would take to cut off his hand, he's not just cheshboning the tsar, he's going to cheshbon everything. He's going to cheshbon his loss of work, he's going to cheshbon everything, all chamisha dvarim, his refuah. So that's not just a tsar payment. Va'od, b'shuftani eskinan. And also, what kind of ridiculous thing is that? A person taking money to cut off his hand, why would you cut off a guy's hand? It's a hard yichitimtzu to imagine that you're going to, that a person is going to be taking money for his hand to be cut off because the other guy wants to cut off his hand for fun. So says the Gemara, second possibility, l'ktoa yado haktua. It's how much money a person would take to cut off his hand that's already cut off, meaning he has a hand that's already not functional. It already is dead, but it's there. And they want to know how much money would a person take to lose that hand that he doesn't have use of anyway. So says the Gemara, Yadu Aktu Nami Lo Tzai Luchudeika, Tzaru Boshas Ika, Dekasif Le Milsel, Le Mishkel Mibisaru, Le Mishkel Leklavim. Well, cutting off a hand that's already not functional is also not just tsar, it's also an issue of boshas. It's not embarrassing to walk around when you have a hand that's not functional. It's not so embarrassing because people don't pick up on that right away. When you're missing a hand, so then it gets embarrassing. Besides, the Gemara says that the embarrassment is different. The Gemara says it's even more embarrassing when they're going to cut off your hand, they're going to throw it to the dogs. So that's embarrassing that they know that a piece of your body was thrown to the dogs. There's a question whether is that halachically permissible? Is that a raya? That if a person loses a limb, there's no mitzvah of kvura. You're allowed to just throw it to the dogs. That's okay. So Shvus Yaakov in the Tshuva, in Chelik Beis, Sim Kofal says that really you're supposed to bury a limb that gets cut off from a person. But he says you do see a little bit of a raya from this Gemara that maybe that's not Me'ikra Din. That maybe a limb gets cut off from a person. Me'ikra Din, you don't necessarily need to bury it. Maybe you would be allowed to do whatever you want with it. There's a whole separate discussion about Tumah. Now, Tumah, there's no machlokas about. When you have a limb that is basa gidin vatsamos, so it has a din of an Aver Shalem, of a person, so the halacha is that it's betame ba'ohel. There's no question that it's going to be metame, right? And the Kohen is not allowed to be metame to an Aver Shalem of a person, to a limb of a person. The issue of here is an issue of kvura that the poskim discuss. When it comes to tuma, there's no shaila. That's the weird shaila of the Nodav Yehuda. Nodav Yehuda got some wild ones. So one of the more wild shailas Nodav Yehuda got in Madura Tinyana, in Yaradeya, Nodav Yehuda was asked the following. There was a Kohen who had lost his leg, and he, in order to go around collecting, in order to get rachmanis from people, he would carry around his leg with him. So to show people, look what I lost. And he would show them the leg, and I guess they would be grossed out and just give him money to go away, or they would feel bad for him and give him money. But either way, that was his shtick. So they asked the Nodav Yehuda, is that okay that he's carrying around his legs? And the Nodav Yehuda said, no, of course it's not okay. That's an Aver Shalem of a person. That's metame. It's of course metame ba'ohel. So that's the deun. If Cohen gets his finger chopped off, so can you bring it in the ambulance with him or bring it to the hospital to get it put back on? Is Sakaras Aver, I mean, if his life is at risk, so then there's no question, it's Sakanas Nefashos. But very often it might only be an issue of Sakanas Eivor. So Sakanas Eivor is not necessarily Docha, Alos HaSeh in the Torah. So it's a good Leibedik topic, not dinner table conversation, but a Leibedik topic. So anyway, so that's the That's the issue. Third possibility, now says Gemara, Ella, how do you measure tsar? It's how much would a person be willing to take? Let's say the melech has already determined this guy needs to lose his hand. Now, there are two ways the melech can do it. He can have you take some sort of sam where the hand will die, but it's not going to be painful, or he could take a sword and chop it right off. How much money would you take in order to do it with saif rather than do it with the sam? So Amri Hachanami will shakel and sar nafshe. He says, come on, no one's going to take any money. You don't want to go through that kind of pain. Ella amdin kamadam rotzalitin l'ktolo yada muktav l'malchus bein saif l'sam. No, it's how much would you give to get out of having it cut off with the sword, and instead have it cut off with sam. It's not how much would you take to go through the worst to get it cut off with the sword, because that's crazy. People wouldn't do that. It's how much would you give to get out of the pain? That people would pay. People would pay for pain management. So that's the way to measure it. Okay, that's the fourth and final approach. So says Gemara, hi litol. But then it shouldn't say litel, it should say litain, because we're not measuring how much the guy would give, we're measuring we're not measuring how much he would take, we're measuring how much he would give. So I'm Rav Huna of Yeshua, litel zemizeh, mashenosan zeh. No, that's what it means. It's how much he would give, how much he would take from the mazik, what the guy had given to the melech. Good, that's all it means. Fine. Says the Gemara Vayter. Ripoy hiko chayiv l'raposo. How do you measure ripoy? So if you hit somebody, you have to be merapeh him. You have to pay for his refuah. Tan Rabbanan, ol b'tzumachim machmas hamaka v'nistra hamaka chayiv l'raposo v'chayiv l'itin l'dmei shifto. If there are sores or other type of infection or something that comes because of the maka, and then the maka gets worse, so you're chayiv to pay for the refuah, and you have to pay for the sheves that's involved as well. Shalom achmas hamaka. But if there are things that grow there not because of the maka, eino chayv l'rafosov, eino chayv l'itin lo d'mei shifto. So then you're not going to have to pay for the refuah for things that are incidental that you didn't cause with your maka, and you're not going to have to pay for the loss of work for that. Rabbi Yehuda mer af machmas hamaka chayv l'rafosov, eino chayv l'itin lo d'mei shifto. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you caused it, it was machmas hamaka, you only have to pay for the refuah, not for the sheves. If sores come afterwards, that's not called something that you would have to pay the sheves for, only the refuah. The Chum shifter refuaso called shechayv b'sheves chayv b'ripoy. The Chum say no. The rule is when you have sheves and refuah, they go hand in hand. Whatever you're chayv sheves for, you're chayv and ripoy for. V'sheinu chayv b'sheves, einu chayv b'ripoy. And whatever you're not chayv sheves for, you're not chayv and ripoy for. So b'maykamifli, what are they arguing about? Amar Rabba ashkachtinu l'rabban b'bei rav diyasi v'kamri hacha b'makmanit le'egid kamifli. They're arguing whether the nechbal, the one who was wounded, has the right to wrap up his maka because it's, you know, leaving it exposed, leaving the wound exposed, causes him a lot of pain, but also when you wrap it up, it causes sores and scabs to come that are going to be painful for him later, and that are going to cause him to miss work later, but he wants to wrap it up now. So that's the shaila, that's the machlokas. Rabbanan Savri maka nit liaget, Rabbi the Savri maka lo nit liaget. Good, so the Rabbanan hold that you're allowed to wrap it up, and therefore, since he's allowed to wrap it up, you're going to have to pay for it. And Rabbi the says, no, he's not allowed to wrap it up, so you don't have to pay. If he wraps it up and causes himself sores, you don't have to pay for that. Ripoy de Tana Bekra Mechayiv, Sheves, Latani Bekra, La Mechayiv. So Ripoy, which it says in the Pasuk, you're going to be Chayiv to pay. Sheves, which it doesn't say in the Pasuk, it doesn't repeat in the Pasuk, you're not going to be Chayiv to pay when the Sheves was caused by him wrapping up his sores. And then we respond to that if the maka was not meant, you're not allowed to wrap it up, then you shouldn't even be chayv ripo either. So that can't be the machlokas. So what really is the machlokas? Because if he's not allowed to wrap it up, so then why should you pay anything? No, everyone agrees the guy is supposed to wrap up his wound if it's painful for him to leave it exposed. Question is, can he over wrap it? I mean, sometimes putting too much wrapping on it causes it to get hot and it causes it to develop sores. Rabbi Yehuda kiven v'lo nitin l'agad yisera ripoy t'tanim b'ekra mechayev shavus l'tanim b'ekra l'mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, since you're not supposed to wrap wrap it extra. It's the only ripoy which the pasuk repeats. You're going to be chayiv, but sheves which it doesn't, you're not going to be chayiv. For Rabbanan Sarvi, even the Tana Bekrab ripoy, a sheves nami mechayiv diskashlu ripoy. And the Rabbanan will say, no, whenever you're chayiv in ripoy, you're chayiv in sheves. There's a shifto yitain rapoy yirapay. The two go hand in hand. Rabbi Yehuda Savar sheves lo mechayiv demiyate rachmana rak. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not going to be chayiv in sheves over here because it says rak. Shifta, right, the Torah says the word rak to limit and to tell me that you're chayiv for less. For Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon will say rak l'shalom machmas hamakol huda asa. That rak is only when it only comes to limit when the wound was, when the sores were caused, not because of the makah. That's what rak comes to tell me that you're part of from. The Rabbanon basrei da'amri kol shchayiv b'sheves chayiv b'ripoy v'kol she'enu chayiv b'sheves enu chayiv b'ripoy ripoy d'tanu b'ekra lamali. Now wait a second. According to Rabban Basrai, that Shevis and Ripoy go hand in hand, that everyone would always say, whenever you're chayv for Shevis, you're chayv for Ripoy, whenever you're not chayv for Shevis, you're not chayv for Ripoy, why does the Torah have to repeat Ripoy, right? Meaning if it's not coming to tell me any chumrah of paying Ripoy in a place where you wouldn't play pay Sheves, which is the way Rabbi Yehuda understood it, because they're always going to go hand in hand, well then why repeat Ripoy? So he says, now he needs it for the Tanya Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Very famously, the Tanya Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, Rapo Yirapei, Mikan Shenitin Rishos Lerofei Lerapos, from the repetition of the word Rapo Yirapei, we see that a doctor is allowed to heal. So a couple of important issues. First of all, on this last line first. For Rapo Yirape, we see that the doctor is allowed to heal. And what's the Havamina? That meaning, is there a Havamina that if you see an old lady crossing the street, you're not allowed to help her? You know, why? It's at the very least, it's a basic chesed. Why would I have a Havamina that a doctor is not allowed to heal? So says Rashi, V'lo amrinan rachmana machi v'iyu masi. You shouldn't say, well, if God is punishing this person by making him sick, how can you undo God's punishment? No, we don't have such avamina. We say just because we're punished, if God gave us the ability to get out of the punishment, then we're supposed to try to get out of the punishment. That's part of the machlokas between the Satmars and everybody else about Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Satmars understand that you're not allowed to take over. The Satmar Rebbe writes that we can't go back and take Eretz Yisrael because this is a punishment the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, that we're in Golus, so we don't have Eretz Yisrael. Others say, what are you talking about? When you're punished because you're sick, does that mean you're not supposed to seek a refuah? Rashi says, Beferish, not like that. Rapo Yirape, the doctor has the right to heal. We're supposed to, if we have the ability to do it, we should try to heal ourselves. We should try to get out of the problem. And Tosfos also similarly, Shinit Rishus Lerofe Lerapo says, Tosfim Tomar, you don't need the double loss from Rapa Yirape for that. So he says, how did it only said Rapa? I would say, yeah, that's when someone else made the guy, wounded the guy and caused the guy to need a refuah. So another person did it, it's not necessarily gzera from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I would have thought that if it's gzera from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if it's something the person got naturally ill, that you're not allowed to heal him, kamash mulan, rapo yirape, that you're allowed to heal a person who's sick. The Maritz Chayis points out over here that the Rambam famously leaves out this drasha. He says, kvar tamati b'sifri shlom atzasi l'arambam zal sheyevi zeh b'sifro. He says, I've already mentioned that it's amazing that the Rambam doesn't quote this at all. The mitzvah l'rofei l'rapos. The Rambam knew something about doctor's healing, and yet the Rambam didn't say a word about a mitzvah for a rofei to give a refuah. The only place mentioned is in Perek Vav, Vilchus Nedarim, Halachas Kasav Merapei Cholei HaNefesh, Shezeh Mitzvah Lo, V'lo Hevi Shum Limud Al Zeh. He doesn't mention this basic drasha, it's quoted by the Gemara. And he says, we already know, we mentioned a couple of days ago, the Rambam in the Perisha Mishnah in Nedarim mentions the idea of Ashevosalo, the idea that it's Hashavas Aveda, that if you have Hashavas HaNefesh, not only do you have Hashavas Aveda on a person's physical lost object, there's Hashavas HaNefesh also, there's Hashavas Aveda on a person's health, if the person is losing his health, and he mentions the idea of refuah from there, but it's a pelo atzum that the Rambam doesn't mention the idea of refuah in the context of this drasha. He doesn't quote this drasha at all. The Ramban writes that what's the havamina that you're allowed to, that you wouldn't be allowed to be merape. So the Ramban writes that the havamina is that that maybe I would have thought that I shouldn't get involved in dealing with a person's refuah because I may do something wrong and I may kill the person. So it's not worth the risk of trying to get involved in his treatment if I may do something wrong and kill him. So that's why v'rapo y'rape. No, if you're a doctor, you have the right, as long as you're a doctor, as long as you're somewhat trained, you have the right to, and yes, you will make mistakes. Human beings do make mistakes. But if you're a doctor, you have the right to go ahead and heal the person, even though there's always going to be a chance that you're going to make matters worse for the person. Now, both according to the Ramban and according to Rashi and Tosfos, when we say that it's reshus was given to the rope l'rapos, it doesn't only mean that it's reshus, it could mean a mitzvah as well. The Gemara uses the word reshus to la'fuke that it shouldn't be yasser, that you shouldn't think that it's yasser. But in Enochinami, it's also a mitzvah, right? There's a mitzvah for a rofe to heal. That's the maisa they say with the Gra, that when the Gra was young, he wanted to go to medical school because he wanted to learn all the different chachmos, and he thought he'd understand, all the chachmos complement each other, and he'd understand parts of Torah a lot better if he understood anatomy. So he wanted to go study anatomy, and his father didn't let him because he said, look, once he knew his son was a super genius. So he said, once you don't have a chiv to become a doctor. No one has a chiv to become a doctor, no matter how smart they are. But once you're a doctor, once you know enough, then you do have a chiv to heal. And he said, I want you to be a rabbi. I don't want you to be a doctor. You're going to be the busiest doctor in the world. So it's not going to be worth it in the long run. So he wouldn't let him go. But that's the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to become a doctor per se. But once you are a doctor, there's certainly a mitzvah to heal. Okay, so Rav Schefter is very strongly against doctors who have to go through non-Shomer Shabbos residencies and things like that. So he says, no mitzvah to become a doctor. Who says you have to become a doctor? Once you are a doctor, so then you have to heal, but you should try to do it in a way that you wouldn't have to cause Chil Shabbos along the way, if possible. Okay, anyway, so that's one point. Another point to mention, just because it's one of the greatest hits of the Amshel Shlomo, appears over here. There's a Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chovel Mazik Perek Beis Halacha Yud Tet. The Rambam writes, "Im alud sumachim shalomach masamaka chayiv l'raposo." That if a person gets sores that are not caused by the wound, you chayiv to be merape him. Hell, it's a very strange Rambam. Why should I have to pay for the ripoy if he gets injured? He gets the sores that aren't caused by what I did to him. So the Magen Mishnah says on the Rambam. So the Ravid right away says, "Eino chayiv l'raposo," meaning he doesn't even bother by going crazy on the Rambam like he normally does, because it's obvious that the Rambam really meant Eino Chayev L'Raposo. So the Rabbi says, no, he really means Eino. And the Magen Mishnah also says that, obviously the Rambam made it, it's obviously a typo in the Rambam over here, it's got to be Eino Chayev L'Raposo. Right? The Mefarshim and the Rambam try to figure out if there's any way to be Miyashev the Girsa. The Kesef Mishnah tries to be Miyashev the Girsa a little bit. And the Migdal Oz says, how could the Ravid say, Eino Chayev L'Raposo, Tomanim Yotza Dovrim Via Ravid? It's amazing how the Ravid could say that. I'm amazed that the Ravid could say something so stupid that Eino Chayev L'Raposo, and the Migdal Oz goes like this, and to try to forenfit the Rambam what the Rambam really meant. And on that, the Yamshel Shlomo says, and this is a well-known Yamshel Shlomo, he says, V'nei Rov Shibush of Lokas Saftiv. I'm not even going to quote what the Migdal Oz gets into, because it's so obviously an error, and he's so obviously wrong. V'shari Le'mari, he says, look, I know that the Migdal Oz was a rabbi, and I know that he was a Talmud Chacham. But he says, do me a favor, read the Migdal Oz and then read the Gemara, and see if you think that what the Gemara really says is what the Migdal Oz says is what the Gemara really means. If you just read the way the Migdal Oz reads Gemaras in order to frame for the Rambam, and you read the Gemara, you'd think the Migdal Oz is off the wall. Why don't we think he's off the wall? Because he's defending Rambam. But he says, there comes a point where when you're defending somebody, where there has to be a certain amount of intellectual honesty. The Yamshel Shlomo basically trashes the Migdal Oz over here. He says, there's never a time where the Migdal Oz just says, you know what, I don't understand this Rambam. It's too difficult. He says, you can't do that. You can't just always be so biased where you're not going to have any integrity in terms of approaching the issue from an unbiased perspective. And he says, if you look at the Magen Mishnah also tries to defend the Rambam. But a lot of times the Magen Mishnah will say, I don't get it. It just doesn't make sense. This Rambam is beyond me. Migdalos never does this. And he says the Vakala Korumbo Mimblishum or Golumbo, Vyodum Karmat Savo, Yistamru Sarus Rosha Mirusum Vilbulo. You read the Migdalos, your hair wants to stand up on end. He says, Kvar Niodea Ofane Merkafto, Me'echu Mayisnai. He says, my hair's not going to stand up on end because I'm used to reading these Migdalos where he's totally off the wall. But he says, that's his Derech. Va'alava Niomer Vitova. He says, I would say more about the Migdalos, that better that he should have kept quiet, rather than what he says about the Ravid. Meaning the Migdalos on this Ravid says the Ravid should have shut up, he shouldn't have said anything. He says that it's more appropriate to say it about the Migdalos over here, ki kala posel, posel b'mumo. Right? Whenever you say something about someone else, very often it applies to yourself. And he says, this is just a good example. And he says, you can't rely on the Migdalos' hachraos and the way he determines things, because he's it's the exact opposite of the Yamshul Shlomo's whole style. I mean, the Migdalos, you understand why the Yamshul Shlomo didn't like it. The Yamshul Shlomo's whole style is, I don't care who you are, I'm going to argue with you if I don't think... The Yamshul Shlomo trashes every Rishon, he doesn't care. He has a derech in the sugya, and that's the way it is. He calls it like he sees it. The Migdalos is the exact opposite, is that I don't care what I think. If the Rambam says this, I have to affirm for it. So you see why they repel each other so much. Okay, says Gemara Vayta, Tan Rabbanan, Minayin Shemol Bot Tzmach Makma Samach Benisra Makma. How do I know that if tzmachim grow because of the makkah and it gets worse, that you have to pay for the refuah and for the shavas? Tam lomar rak shifto yitain rapo yirapei. Yachal afilu shalom machmas hamaka. I might think that even if it's not because of the maka, tam lomar rak. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, omer af machmas hamaka pater, shnemar rak. No, even if it's because of the maka, you're pater, because it says rak. Ikad amri, what does he mean? Af machmas hamaka pater legamri krabban basrai. That when it's machmas hamaka, you're even pater legamri from the ripoy and the shavas, like the rabban basrai. Vikad amri, af machmas hamaka pater mi shavas, v'chayv ripoy kaman kavua. And some say no, he meant that machmas hamaka, you're potter from the sheves, but you're going to be chayiv in the ripoy like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Amar ma yachla afilu shalom machmas hamaka. I might think that even when it's not machmas hamaka, tamal lomar rak. Therefore, rak tells me that you're going to be potter when it's shalom machmas hamaka. Shalom machmas hamaka by krad. Do you really need a pasuk to tell me that when it's not machmas hamaka that you're going to be potter? Sa amri my shalom machmas hamaka. What does it mean shalom machmas hamaka? Kedetanya hare shavra al divrei rofe vachol dvash kol mina mitika mimnei shadvash kol mina mitika kashan lemaka vehalem makaso. Gargusni, if let's say the doctor issued strict orders, don't eat sweets, don't eat this kind of food, that kind of food, and he ate it. So he's poshea, but a little bit, you know, people tend to do that sometimes. So I think you should pay for his refuah. Tamaloma rak. That's what rak tells me. You don't have to pay for that refuah. He's poshea himself by going against doctor's orders. My gargusni, what does it mean that it got gargusni because he ate stuff? So I'm rabbi nasa karichta, that his skin dried up. His skin dies, rather. Maya asvase, so how do you heal that? Allah vikiru vakalba, you put a bunch of stuff in it, soap and wax and wine barrels or something. What if the guy who wounded the chovel says, I'm a doctor, I'll heal you, I know I cut off your hand, but instead of paying for your refuah because I don't have the money, I'd rather do it myself. Says he can say, no thank you, you're my damager, I don't want you to heal me, you're a lion that jumped on me. What if he says, well, I have a friend, I have a cousin, and he'll do it for cheap, so let me pick the doctor, I don't want you to pick the doctor. So he says, normally a doctor that heals for free is worth nothing, right? Is worthless. He says, well, I know a doctor, he lives far away, but he'll come in for this one time to visit you and he'll take care of it. Can I bring that guy in? So the guy could say, no, if he lives far away, he'll blind me and he'll leave and he'll, you know, he doesn't care. There's no repercussions because there's nothing to for him to worry about. If the Nizik says, you know what, give me the money and I'll pay for the doctor. Don't pay my doctor, just give me the money. So I'm like, Peshata Benafshon for Shekalta Minayit Vei. He says, no, because I don't think you're going to use it to pay a doctor properly, and you're going to end up taking more money from me than you need. So he says, okay, just make a set amount that you think it should cost and give me the money, just don't pay it to my doctor. I'm like, Kolshkin to Peshata Benafshon for Karli Sharamazik. He says, no, because then you're not going to heal yourself and everyone is going to say that I'm a bad guy because you're still walking around wounded. So I pay the doctor only. I'm not going to pay you. Tana v'kulam nishlam makom nezek. You pay all the other things besides for nezek. Minan emili. How do I know? Amar zum shmei drava. Amar krab petzah tachas petzah. Litein tsar b'makom nezek. That you pay for tsar even when you're paying nezek. So haimi bayilei l'rabba shogig nezek v'onus krasim. But don't we already use petzah tachas petzah to tell me that another mul liolam that you pay for shogig and onus and everything? Im kein dichtov krab petzah b'petzah. My petzah tachas petzah. Shema min atarti. So we see both. Rav papa mishmei drava. Amar krab rapoy rapeli. And refuah b'makom nezek. Rapa Yirafei teaches me you pay for refuah even when you're already paying for nezek. Haimi b'ayilei l'chatan d'verei b'shmal. D'tan d'verei b'shmal v'rapa Yirafei mekanshin in rishos l'rofei l'rapos. But don't we already need Rapa Yirafei to teach me that a doctor is allowed to heal? Im kei nechtav krav v'rofei Yirafei. Shemami no, l'itin refuah b'makom nezek. Then it would have said v'rofei Yirafei. Rapa Yirafei teaches me both. V'akati mi b'ayilei l'chatan, but we still need it to teach me the following. L'misni b'kra b'ripoi. For the Torah to repeat ripoy to tell me that sometimes you're going to pay ripoy even when you don't pay sheves. Im kein leimakra o rafa rafa o yirape yirape my v'rapo yirape shramin alitin refuah b'makom nezek. So we see it teaches me both. How can you have the other payments when there's no nezek? So the Gemara says each one is possible. Tsar kidiktani, tsar kaval b'shvudu b'mismar, v'afilu atzipurnu makom shein osa chabura. How do you have tsar without nezek? Like we said, you burn the guy with a nail or something on his fingernail, so that's going to be tsar, but it's not going to be nezek. Ripoy, davakayev le midi, v'salik, v'aisi le samacharifa, v'achvrei le bisrei, d'tzarech l'usumi le samalan kute gavna de bisrei. That the person had some injury, and you brought some sort of medication that whitened his skin, so then he's going to need another medication to bring back the color to his skin. So that's going to be a case of refuah without any nezek. Sheves, tahadke bindrono ubatle, where you lock him up in a room and you cause him not to do any work, but you didn't damage him, you just locked him up. And boshes terakle ba'ape, boshes without nezek is where you spit in the guy's face. Okay, we'll have to pick up from there tomorrow. We're falling behind a little bit. I'll try to make it up. Yeah.